gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Tuesday morning, and joining me today, I've got Claire, the garden editor, and she's in the studio today, not on a telephone. Hi, Claire.
Good morning. Good morning. It's do you know what? It's so nice to be here in your very palatial studios.
It's a bit posh, isn't it?
It is so posh,
isn't it?
It's really nice.
You've got to be proper professional now.
I know. I feel like I need to elevate my game. Like I'm not sitting in my little nest at home,
oh, right,
surrounded by all my books and bits and pieces. You know.
Yeah. And the proverbial glass of wine to one side that no one can see.
No comment.
No, you've got a cup of coffee today, don't you?
I do have a cup of coffee.
Yes, all right. Yep. Okay, right. Yep. What are we talking about today? Are we talking about still winter pruning, aren't we?
Part two. We are. We're kind of on winter pruning. And I know it's kind of feeling like spring already. It's getting warm.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's lovely. You know, I mean, there's still a bit of mud. I'm still like, you know, it's good job that this is just the radio and not on telly because I'm still like half covered in mud.
Really? Oh, dear.
Yeah. But yeah, it is getting warmer, so there are a few things to do if you need to finish your winter pruning. But thank you, first of all, for everyone who put in questions. We had a load, so we'll get through as many as we can today.
Yeah.
And then if we can't get through them all, we'll just roll them forward to the next one.
Okay, yeah, let's do that then. Let's get on to the first part.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll focus on the ones which are really important to do right now. And so the first one, we had questions about wisteria. And wisteria is this really tall climbing plant you see in posh National Trust houses. It's the one with the really, really long, elegant flowers, the racemes, technical word, which come down. And then it goes, oh, that looks amazing. And they're actually a native climber, so they climb up other trees and things. So if you go to China, they just grow in the wild and they just climb up trees. And do you know what? They don't need any pruning because they just climb up trees. So it comes back to what we were saying last time, which is, why are we pruning at all? What are we trying to do?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I did say to the wife, there's no point pruning that at the minute, because she said, oh, well, should we go and prune the back garden? No, I can't be really bothered to do that today.
Yeah, so a lot of wisterias will flower without pruning, but if you want to have lots and lots of flowers, because that's the reason why we have that plant, is because we want the flowers, the leaves are fine, you know, but it's that kind of really hit of early flowers that you want in May. So what you want to do is you want to have lots of little stubby bits. And these are almost like jewels, little clusters of sweets, as I described them to someone the other day, little sweeties. And you see these little tiny brown buds, and you want to have about two or three of them in a little collection. And what happens is, if you only have two or three, then the plant thinks, oh my goodness, I might die, I need to flower. Whereas if you have 10 or 11 in a really long whippy string along the lines, the plant thinks, great, I can just grow. And I'll just grow some lovely, lovely leaves. So what you want for your wisteria is to make it think, oh, I need to do something, I need to flower. So if you have long, thin, long whippy bits, you want to cut them back to about two or three buds before they go to the main stem or a side shoot. So you want these little clusters of sweets. That sounds a bit complicated, but I promise you, it's really easy. If you can count to three, you can prune a wisteria. That is all you need to do.
What, just count to three?
Yeah, count to three. Count three little brown little buddy things,
yeah,
off a side shoot, and then
chop off all above that. Yeah.
That's all it needs. So thank you very much, and let us know how that goes. Sometimes things can be a bit erratic pruning-wise and flowering-wise, but that is what we aim to do with our winter pruning of wisteria. And then the next really big questions we had was about roses. Lots of people very, very worried about roses. What do I do with my roses at this time of year? And it all seems very complicated. And I have to say, there are thousands and thousands of types of roses out there. I mean, there's so many cultivars, as we call them. And there's like different types. There's hybrid, there's bush, there's shrub. It's hybrid tea. It all sounds a bit complicated, but the basic thing is take it back to basics. So a bit like what we said last time, take out anything which is dead, diseased or dying. So look at your rose, take out anything which is just old and woody and dead. You snip that off as cleanly as you possibly can. And then what you want to do is take off anything which is crossing. So if you've got two branches which are rubbing across each other, like two chopsticks or things like that, you take those off. You take one of them off, pick your favourite. The thicker the better, really. If it's really spindly, I'm like, yeah, you're not going to hold up a rose, are you? You're not going to hold up a nice big flower. Off you go to the bin. And then what you do is you cut it, the rest of the rose, and you cut it down maybe about a third or a quarter of all the long branches you have, and you cut them to an outer facing bud. That's like, if you look at your hands and you look at your knuckles, think of your knuckles as a bud, and you want to look for something like that, and you just snip off just above your knuckle. And that means all your flowers will grow.
Not literally out, above not your knuckle. Literally. No,
yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah, please, yeah. Please, yeah. Let's not do...
I can imagine people taking, you know, wiping the tomato sauce off their secateurs first, and then see. I remember that.
Have you done that yet?
No, I did tell the wife though. I did say to the wife, "Oh, Claire said if you do this to your anyway." But I think before she does the pruning, I think she's going to have to do that. I think she will try it.
Yeah, we'll give it a go.
Absolutely,
does get rid of most of the stuff. But yeah, please don't actually cut off your knuckles of your hands. But it's just a useful way of trying to work out, because a lot of people panic and think, "Oh, what does a bud look like?" It looks a bit like a knuckle. That's the best way of describing it.
Okay.
So just cut off above that. If you've got climbing roses or roses trained up something, what you want for those ones is. Quite often I see this in clients' gardens. It's a rose, and it's a really narrow pot, and it's a really narrow trellis, and it's trained up, and it's got one flower at the top. And that's quite sad, because people want lots of flowers all over the rose. And what you want to do then is get as many branches, not going upwards, but going horizontally.
All right.
Do you know why?
No.
This is another.
Why would I know why?
Oh, I don't know. You know.
I know
stuff.
What end of a jack plug to plug in and an XLR plug, but I wouldn't have a clue where it comes to flowers and...
As ever, it comes down to hormones.
Oh, okay.
It's right. All about those planty
hormones. All about
hormones,
yeah,
so
okay.
At the top of your your rose, that top of your kind of branch will have dominant hormones. And it's telling all the rest of that branch, you don't flower. I am in control.
Right.
Yeah.
Top dog.
Top dog, absolutely. Yeah. But if you bend over top dog, so hot dog, top dog lies horizontally, then all the buds, all the little side stems...
Can jump past them.
Exactly. They top dogs. So what you want to do is stop that one. So you want to bend as much as possible your climbing roses so that they kind of go out in a fan shape. So there you are. Hormones. It's always about hormones, isn't it?
Always about hormones. Yeah, okay.
Who would have thought that? But also the other thing I was going to say about roses before we finish on roses, and I do like special rose pruning for people if you want to kind of like book classes, and we do it like we literally go around your garden, we do them together. But some people just take a hedge trimmer to them.
Do they?
Yeah. And do you know what?
Oh, I bet that's your pet hate, isn't it?
Yeah, no,
but,
it's not.
No,
it's fine. I mean, sometimes if you've got a really, really massive, huge amount of roses, you're not going to go around very carefully doing all these things. And do you know what? They've done some trials and it's not that bad. You know, it might not be as perfectly flowering next year, but it's pretty good. So if in doubt...
Because people might think that's a bit brutal, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but roses, you know my theory about roses, they're like teenage boys. They need food and boundaries.
Okay.
So cut back hard, give them a load of nice horse manure, fine.
I just remember that.
Absolutely.
If my son was a teenager, say, look, what's for tea, Dad? Oh, there's a bowl of horse manure there. Just chomp on that for a little while, you'll be fine.
And a pair of secateurs covered in
tomato
sauce.
Yeah, put some tomato sauce. It'll make it taste a lot better.
Absolutely. So that's the basics about roses. And again, there's books and books written on this stuff. But I think just remember, take out your diseased, dead stuff, reduce your things. And if you're looking at climbing, you want as much as possible to be horizontal to avoid one rose and the rest of it just looking at sad stats.
Okay. Perfect.
Grand. Okay. And so then Gemma had some questions about apple trees.
Well done, Gemma.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I should shout out as well for questions on roses came from Gemma and from Sue.
Oh, well done,
and
Sue.
And Gaynor as well had some questions about wisteria. So thanks everyone for phoning and dropping lines about those. And Gemma, I don't know what type of apple trees you've got. And again, there's loads of different types.
Sorry, that was my fault. I turned you down. And sorry.
That's fine. Is it that, is it that boring?
No. That was my fault. Sorry.
I mean,
unprofessional, sorry.
In our very professional studio.
That's right, yeah. Just an unprofessional presenter, that's fine.
No, it's fine. So Gemma, I don't know quite what type of apple tree you have. There's lots of different types, but let's assume it's kind of a relatively well-established one. Apples don't fruit on new wood, so you will only get apple, you know, the actual apple fruits on wood which is about 2 or 3 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because it kind of changes again. Hormones.
Okay.
You all the rest of it. So what you want to do is to make sure if you take out, if you kind of give it a haircut all over, all you're doing is taking out all the wood, which in a couple of years' time will produce your apples. So you don't want to do that. What you want to do is, again, take out your dead, diseased and dying bits. And you might find with a really big apple tree, you might have an entire limb which looks dead or just doesn't do anything. Do you know what? You can just take that off. Know with a pruning saw if you've got one, or even another type of saw if you need to, but if it's looking very congested and very old, you can definitely do that. In total, with an apple tree pruning, you're aiming to take about 10 or 20% off of the whole apple tree at one time. If you take off more, you get these weird things called water shoots, where you get lots of tiny little vertical shoots which do nothing. No. And they're really annoying. So you don't want to do that. So,
no, definitely not.
No. So what you want to do is look at your apple tree, take out anything dead and diseased and dying, and then you want to reduce a short amount, maybe a quarter or a third, the length of your outer branches, and anything which is very low growing, because if the apples won't be supported on that and it might break the thing, or anything really too tall, because the apple tree will grow from where you cut it. So if you have really, really tall vertical growth already, unless you've got really good with heights, when those apples grow on that branch, you're mm-hmm. not going to be able to pick them.
Okay.
So yeah, so keeping it short, thinking about, okay, I need some old wood, I need some new wood here, and don't prune off too much. You just want some air and space through it as much as you possibly can. So, right. You know, apples, again, books and books written on it. But I hope that helps, Gemma, just to give you a bit of confidence by dealing with that.
And if anyone else has got any questions, you can always put it on the Facebook page, can't you? You can find ours or your own one, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can always do that at a later date.
Please do. Yeah. Okay, so now let's move on to... a couple of questions which came in from Catherine. Thank you, Catherine, for your questions. I'm going to give you a nice pass here. You're asking about what to prune with salvias, grasses and fuchsias. And I think I can give Catherine a nice big cup of tea and a sit down, because do you know what, Catherine? It's too early to do anything for your salvias.
Oh, look at that. That's what we like. Yeah, yeah. I might have to get some of that in my garden then. Yeah. Somewhere I can just sit down, have a cup of tea and look at it.
Indeed. Right. So salvias might be looking a bit grey and tatty and rubbish at this time of year, but they are actually slightly tender, and that old sticky growth is protecting the new growth. So you won't see the new growth coming and breaking bud until later in March and April.
Oh,
so,
Kathy, you've got at least 4 weeks, eh?
Exactly.
At least 4 weeks to put your feet up. That's not bad.
So, Catherine, I wouldn't be pruning. I don't prune my salvias until late April, actually, and it looks really, really rubbish, and I have to keep my hands off my secateurs, but bear with, stay with it. You don't want to lose all those precious flower buds to a late frost.
No.
And the same with fuchsias. Again, it's late flowering. It flowers on later in the year, so your branches might look all spindly, but I would cut that down much harder, but much later. So again, March, April and spring.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so that's two passes, Catherine, I've given you.
Well done.
And you did ask a question about grasses, and you might want to listen back, if you can, to an old episode we did about grasses, because the reason why I love a grass is because it just needs one thing done a year. Mm. You know, I don't have time to do lots and lots of fiddly bits and pieces. So you mentioned that you had something called Steeper tenuissima, which is kind of like a pheasant grass, and all you need to do is put a pair of gloves on and just comb it through with your hand. Just comb it through your hand, and that will take out anything which is old.
Well, as long as you ain't got 4 or 5 acres of it, you'd be fine.
In that case, you know, use a rake.
Yeah. Okay.
Use a large comb for that. And then you mentioned as well that you have a Carex Evergold, and that is an evergreen grass as well. So again, just the same thing. All you're wanting to do is just take out any old, tatty, kind of, you know, brown, odd looking bits and pieces, but you just kind of comb it through with your hands as gently as you possibly can. Okay. If you did have a deciduous grass, you would be cutting it down so it makes it look like a little hedgehog at this time of year.
Nice.
But you don't have that. So Catherine, you've got time. So I would give yourself a bit more of a sit down if I was you. Have we got time for one?
Yeah, go on. Let's do one more. Yeah, okay. let's squeeze one more in. Who's this
one,
from?
One more. And again, this is from someone called Joe. Thank you very much, Joe, for
Thanks,
your question.
Joe.
You had a question about curry plants.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want the posh word?
Yeah, go on.
Go on. Hey Cries and Metallicum.
All right. We'll just go curry plant.
Curry plant.
Do they actually smell like curry?
Absolutely.
Really?
They're really lovely. Yeah. Lovely smell of curry. And again, Joe, I'm going to give you a pass here. It's a later pruning one. You want to prune it later in April or May. And you're not going to want to cut into the wood. I think yours might be quite overgrown. When it gets woody and hard, it's hard to rejuvenate from that. So what you want to do is kind of lightly trim it over and keep it bushy. And I think Babs has a new one that she was wanting to grow as well. So Babs, for you, I would just say let it grow this year, but then kind of later on, make sure kind of by this time next year in April and May, you're cutting it back, because then you're going to stop getting the woody growth that Joe is now trying to tackle. So kind of cutting it back. Again, I'd wait a bit until April, May. So, you know, that's spring pruning rather than kind of the winter pruning.
How big do they grow to in curry plants?
Oh, about a metre by a metre across. Yeah, yeah.
And they smell of curry?
They smell of curry, and they've got really fine silver leaves and then yellow flowers. So they're a really good climate resilient plant, actually. So they cope with drought really well.
So do they smell of curry, like if you went in the garden, you could smell them, or do you have to rub the leaves? Because some plants you have to rub
it
the leaves.
It is a bit of a rubber, but I think you can get a little bit of the smell. But yeah, it's really good. It's lovely.
Oh, I need to get some of them in.
I think you want a curry plant, don't you?
Yeah, I think I do, actually. Yeah. I quite enjoy that.
So I'd say if you have priority and if you push for time, if you have wisterias, apples or roses, those are the things to finish your winter pruning on. Everything else pretty much can wait another couple of weeks. So, you know, don't panic. There's plenty of time. It's very easy to feel overwhelmed at this time of year and feel like you have to get everything ready, but still take your time. There's no rush of these things.
There you go, you heard it from Claire. Take your time. You don't need to rush and do it. It's absolutely fine. Put your feet up and have a cup of tea. Claire's got a cup. You got a cup of tea or coffee there?
Oh, I've got a cup of tea here.
Cup of tea. Look at that. See, we know that. Oh, mind you, I didn't treat you. You brought that in, didn't you?
Really? I know. Thank you very much. Chinham Shopping Centre is a great place for getting a nice cup of tea.
Excellent. Right. You'll be back, not next week, the week after. But before you go, we need to know what song you want today.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought, bearing in mind we're talking about pruning and cutting and, you know, possibly not chopping up our hands by our knuckles, but I thought we'd have Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by The Culture Club.
No, oh, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Speak to you soon.
Thanks, Claire.
Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.